I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me bear much fruit. Abide in me. I have a deeply personal connection to this text here in John 15. It was Good Friday in 2014. I was living and working with 8 other folks my age at that time as part of the Episcopal Service Corps in a project called St. Hilda's House. The 9 of us together would pray and live and study theology together with an eye towards how our faith had a role in broader society, in our broader culture. And we would then concurrently work full-time in social service or charitable or community organizations around the city in order to try and live out this theological change that we had been talking about. I joined this project in the summer of the previous year as part of my discernment for the process of the priesthood and to spend a year living in community and engaging with theological writing before I went to seminary. And 8 months into this experience, I was in tatters. You see, I'd chosen this particular program so that I could angle my way into a preferred seminary, something that I'd ultimately learned was a failure the month before. I was hopping frantically through the hoops and the requirements that the diocese and my bishop had set up for me, seeking to appease the numerous commissions and committees which governed my life. I was finding success at the organization I was working with in the city, but absolutely fed up with the community that I lived in. The more conflict that would arise among us, the more I, as an introvert, would just retreat and step away from the group. Waking up to say morning prayer with the group became a drudgery and dry, and some days I would just snooze until I had to shower so that I would not be late for work. Even going to Mass felt distant, mechanical, and not the usual solace that I had found it to be. And so this Good Friday, I stumbled into the confessional after the liturgy, feeling hollow for the sense that I should have been more moved, that I should have felt more connected to what I experienced. And as I knelt down in the confessional, I let loose a torrent of frustrations and nerves and insecurities and fears, kicking myself for not acting more pious, for not feeling more loving or charitable to my annoying housemates, not achieving what I felt I needed to achieve. And the kind voice of that priest chuckled softly after I was done and said, "You know, 9.5 out of 10 of those things you just confessed are not actually sins." She reminded me of something that I have thought about repeatedly this Easter here, something that we see manifest in the stations of the resurrection around us. So many of the stories of Jesus after his resurrection are about him simply being present with his disciples, walking on the road with them, breaking bread with them, cooking breakfast for them, talking with them. Abide in me as I abide in you. The priest in that confessional gave me John 15, this text, as a text to pray. And for the entirety of that Easter season, I would use the church keys that I'd been given to come into the church late at night, around 10 or 11. And I'd turn on a single light, and I would curl up in a ball in front of that imposing stone altar. And for a moment, I would try to quiet my mind and to resist the impulse to begin those frantic negotiations I was always having with God. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Did it happen because I did this or said that? Perhaps the thing that I did, said, achieved, taught will persuade you towards a different outcome. And instead of running around in circles in my mind, trying to prove to God how much I loved God, trying to prove to God that I could do better, I tried to imagine Jesus on the beach with his disciples, cooking them breakfast, and I tried to find that same sense of recognition of love and communion within myself. Because as I have said before, and I will say again many times, salvation and the process of Christian discipleship is not one of appeasing a frowning deity with enough deeds marked good, nor is it a program of self-improvement based on commitment and sheer force of will. What does the author of 1 John tell us this week? God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Salvation is the process of recognizing the love of God within us and for us, recognizing this love as the true bedrock of our identity and our worth, and allowing this divine love to transform and then animate us. We manifest God's presence in the world by recognizing the image of God within us, divine love, love that cannot be conquered by death. And when we recognize this as our truest sense of identity, we allow it to become our most powerful motivation. Christianity is not a faith about doing. It is about becoming. We do not need to operate from a place of deficiency or fear because we have already been cleansed by the word of love that Jesus has spoken to us. By regularly remaining in the presence of God and allowing those dry branches of our own efforts to be more loving, to be more selfless, to be more holy, by allowing those to be cleared away, the true love of God which abides in us is able to shine forth more clearly. This is, of course, a process which occurs over time, and it requires our dedication. But it is the key to growing in our life of faith. Jesus says just this: just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus' instructions about the branches which do not produce fruit are not directive. They're descriptive. Jesus is not telling us to hurry up and abide in the love of God for us, feel loved before God throws you into damnation for failing. Instead, Jesus is warning us of the dangers of spiritual self-reliance and isolation. Instead, read this language of these branches as the same warning that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 13, that famous wedding passage. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Jesus is calling us, reminding us to recognize and to remain in the abundant love of God. It is only through a deep rootedness in this eternal love that our everyday actions can be transformed into expressions of the love of God for the entire world. When we abide in Christ as he abides in God, our love then compels us into action. 1 John said this last week: little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Or sort of the inverse of that, 1 John says this week: those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Pause today. Recognize how deeply you are loved by the love which hung the stars in place. And as you continue to walk in this place of love, allow it to manifest in the world around you, like fruit on the vine, like spring blossoms on the trees. Amen.